Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Rommel. We're here with part two of the mailbag. If you haven't checked out part one, we already published that. This is part two, published right away. Let's get right into it. First question, is Wade's buyout still a thing? And what about UD? This is from at JM27 and then what looks like three underscores.
Nice.
Hey, get the handle you want. And look, just this kind of reminded me of a lot of comments and questions that we've been getting and on Twitter and whatever about Udonis Haslem and the fact that, look, he's old and he's still getting a roster spot. And we've gotten several questions wondering, like, why are we still paying this guy as a player, taking up a valuable roster spot on a 15-man team? Why not just move Haslem into the coaching ranks, put him on the coaching bench, and pay him that way if they want him in the organization so well? David, I think you know the answer to why that would be a bad idea.
Why is that?
I just don't... Haslam's... The whole intrigue for Haslem, right? The whole... Is that he is a player, right? He's the guy that is in nothing but his boxer briefs, maybe in the locker room, throwing water bottles and cursing in... You know, that's... If he's in a suit and tie as a coach, does that have the same... oomph? Does that have the same chutzpah? Like, it doesn't. No, it just doesn't work that way. What are you... You're going to listen to Haslem? Look, I would listen to Haslem about the finer points of the mid-range, the 15-foot baseline jumper, a post-game, and defensive awareness. He's got a lot to teach the young players, but he should be doing that as a player. This is the... I just don't see Haslem being a coach. He's just a... He... Was Kevin Garnett a coach? No.
He still hasn't become one. He's more of a... Yeah, even when his last season, when he wasn't playing very much, and they were trying to trot him out there, basically because it was a goodwill reunion in Minnesota. I mean, it was a struggle for him to find the ability to get out on the floor every other game or so, and right. It was just difficult, and it was just embarrassing for him as a person, as a player, as a former superstar, etc. Udonis was never quite at that level, obviously.
Right, but they're like the same DNA, right? It's just like they have the same mindset. And look, Haslem even this summer said, I could give more to this game. I could still play. But I'm happy to play the role that I'm playing. And so you got to – they'll try him out there every few minutes or every few games, you know, victory cigar or whatever it is. And he still wants to play. And if you're the Heat, yes. you don't force a guy like Haslem, especially with all the bad PR that this team has dealt with the last couple of years, right? You don't force him out. And that's not JM27's question, right? JM27's question was more about he still hasn't signed a deal yet. From everything that we're reading, and you want to be careful about this stuff, but from everything that we're reading, it's a lock. Like this is just a formality. This team still technically has a couple more roster spots left, right? They only have 13 guys under contract. They might be looking to see what they do with that 14th player, having already agreed with Haslem. Will sign you for the veteran minimum. Teams can go over the salary cap to sign veteran minimum guys, right? You could go over to do that. It's a $2.3 million veteran minimum in Haslem's case. So they might just be waiting for that 14th roster spot because, as we know, the Heat, Andy Ellisberg, the cap wizard, very particular about the order in which he does his signings. Haslem is the 15th signing. They just haven't decided who the 14th one is yet. That's my guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much. I think the organization understands Haslem's value, and for people who might question it, aside from nostalgic purposes, you know, you and I have both seen the delicate nature of locker room chemistry at play there. You saw it in Sacramento with Boogie Cousins, and I think that there's some incredible value for having a guy like Haslem, who isn't just a shiny example of championship success and veteran leadership and everything else, but the fact that he does the work, he outworks everybody still at this point in his career, even knowing that he's not going to get much chance to play. That sets a high bar for professionalism that everybody else will try to emulate. And we saw it last year. I mean, as overblown as maybe the sense of Heat culture might be, I think it's certainly embodied by that kind of professional attitude. And it really shows other players, especially young guys that are trying to prove themselves, that look, nothing is given. Everything has to be earned. And part of the way you do that is by doing the work day in and day out. And Haslam continuing to show that is the perfect example, and why you'd want him there in the locker room to set that example. You don't want him, as you said, in a coat and tie. It just loses. It waters it down.
I love Udonis Haslam, man.
Sure, like, man. Who doesn't want?
I think I'm just going to get 5 of those jersey T-shirts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? With the big 40 at the back and Haslam. And I'm just going to wear those to the gym. That's going to be just like – if anything gets you pumped to go to the workout or anything, it would be just wearing a Haslam jersey, right?
I think you'll lift more wearing a Haslam jersey.
I'll easily just like go up like 40 pounds on my bench press or something. I don't know.
So how about the first part of JM's question? Is Wade's buyout still a thing? And I think we've addressed this before, but JM, to be honest with you, no, it's not. Chicago, a notoriously stingy organization, is not willing to pay him money just to have him go wherever he wants. They're not going to buy out his contract. And if they do, it's under the understanding from Wade that he's going to leave a lot of money on the table. So it would have to be something like Dwayne Wade having an epiphany midway through the season where he says, you know what, playing alongside campaign is not necessarily how I want to spend one of the last years of my NBA career. I was playing with LeBron James a couple seasons ago. I was running the American Airlines Arena, 14 months ago. Now all of a sudden I've got this guy tossing me lobs badly and not being able to keep up. Look, there's no other veterans on that team, right? Am I missing something? Like Chris Dunn has to develop. Zach
Levine, the coach isn't a veteran. The coach. Yeah. Here's my prediction.
Okay, here we go.
Wade is bought out at midseason. You're right. He's not going to be bought out now, but you can wait till the All-Star break in the middle of the year. You can wait after, 41 games. And he's going to get paid 50% by then of that $24 million, right? So it's $12 million thereabouts. So at that point, he's not leaving $24 million on the table. He's leaving 12. Now, can you negotiate a buyout where you take 50% of that remaining 12, take $6 million? Now you get $18 million for the season as opposed to 24. For you and I, that's a lot of money. For Dwayne Wade, it's not that much. Just does another press tour in China, he's good to go. Something like that. I don't know. But
Did you know he has like 10 players wearing his Way of Wade shoes? Was it Li Ning? NBA, is that his?
Yeah, NBA players?
Yeah, supposedly, yeah.
Huh. I don't know which ones.
Me neither. I looked at them and I don't remember.
Tweet us. I'm Locked on Heat if you guys know.
There's a list somewhere in a recent piece by Addy Joseph over at For the Win.
Yeah.
He wrote about the diverse portfolio of things that Wade has looked into. Like he doesn't follow any kind of specific pattern. It's like, oh, I like ties. I'm going to get into ties. Not like Mr. Nice Tie like Chris Bosh did, but like just off brand stuff like underwear and of course Li Ning shoes as opposed to say Nike or Adidas or anything else. So it's very interesting. And yeah, there was a list of like eight, I think actually Udonis
Dwayne Wade Vineyards. I mean,
yes, absolutely. Whatever it's called. Have you tried them?
No, I've got to get a bottle. I am a big fan of red wine, so I really should try it.
Excellent.
So, and the other thing here, if you're Chicago, right? So if Wade's perspective, now you're losing $6 million, not $24 million, just by playing 41 games in Chicago. Not bad, right? And if you're Chicago, you've got real incentive to buy out Dwayne Wade because you've got Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn waiting there to be the future, I guess, of your franchise, whatever that future looks like. Yeah. Sorry, Bulls fans, but That is what the plan is, right? You've got them. You've got Cameron Payne, whatever that's worth. Denzel Valentine that they took in the first round last year. They've got a lot of players that they need to get playing time. And if you've got Wade just sitting there as a minute sucker, it doesn't help the development of your team. Having a checked out Wade or an unmotivated Wade in the first half of the season doesn't really help either. I mean, is Wade really going to pour his heart and soul into coaching those young players? I'm sure he'll do a little bit of it just because he's there. But
I wouldn't. I wouldn't be sure of that. I didn't see it from him in Miami. I didn't see him from him last year. I mean,
leadership by example. I mean, I don't know. But the point is, like, if you're Chicago, you've got reason to do it. And if you're Wade, you've got reason to ask for it. I think it happens. And the rest of my prediction, so I think he's get butts out after 40 games, somewhere in there. Goes to Cleveland for half a season at the minimum. And then he's in a Heat uniform next season. That's just my prediction.
Okay.
So, quick reminder to make sure that you subscribe to David Locke's Locked On NBA podcast for all of your national NBA news. Throughout the offseason, he's got interviews with coaches, scouts, and league insiders. Also, check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA team and your favorite NFL team, including Locked On Dolphins. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
All right. Our next question comes from Chris Leach. How do you feel about London Parentis in Summer League? Could he be a candidate for one of the two-way spots? He's been shooting the lights out, and he has more size than Justin Robinson. Justin Robinson, who's been getting a lot of play, we got, and I want to talk about him a little bit later. But London Parentis, the Virginia guard, got hurt in the Las Vegas Summer League, but before he got hurt, was playing really well. I've got the stats here somewhere. Yes, in Orlando, he averaged 11.3 points a game on 40% shooting, 4.8 assists, 3.8 rebounds, 1.3 steals. And in Vegas, very consistent stats, 10 points a game, 37.5% field goal shooting, field goal percentage, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 1.5 steals. What did you see from Parentis when you were in Orlando, David?
He's a little undersized. Mm-hmm. I think they list him at, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
6'2 or 6'3", something like that.
Yeah, and a few inches of that is probably hair. So I think it's a generous listing there, but he's got, as Spoelstra and Chris Quinn like to say, he's got a little dog in him. You could see that he's got a little bit of attitude there, trying to prove himself. He's a really, really smart kid too. Like in interviews, he's very, very polished. He's got a sense of humor about his situation there. He's just trying to prove himself. And I think he's the kind of guy who understands he's behind the eight ball as far as making it to the NBA. He didn't follow the same path as others, but he recognizes that he has to do some work, and I think there's an opportunity for him to take that next level. That guard play in Orlando, as most summer league teams have, especially in Orlando, was kind of shoddy, but particularly for Miami. It was just hard creating offense there with guards being able to penetrate. There were moments of greatness there. There were some nice shots off the dribble. He curled around screens. He looked solid, if not spectacular. But I think the shooting is legitimate. He does have a nice form. He's got better than expected speed. I didn't look at him and see that he was like an incredible or extraordinary athlete, but he can, he can keep up with the guys in summer league, willing to defend. He needs work. There's no doubt about it. But I could see Miami making an offer and trying to get him onto their G League team and seeing if they can develop him that way.
Look, they've taken chances on small guards who just play hard and that are smart, right? Like you're saying, Briante Weber, Beno Udrih, even, a veteran but still small, smart player.
Tyler Johnson.
Like, these are guys that they take chances on. They're not so concerned with your size as long as you play bigger than your size, right? That's kind of more what they're looking for, physical guys. I could see them taking a chance on Parentis. Maybe not on the two-way deal. I don't think he's quite to that level, but on their G League squad, absolutely. The next question is from Jordan Malley. Do either of you have a hunch on who the Heat might use the two-way contracts on, to keep going with this theme here? Maybe an undrafted free agent, current Sioux Falls player, or possibly Hammonds. My bet here, I'm looking at Justin Robinson.
Ooh.
And Matt Williams. Go Knights.
Now, the Williams pick I do like. I think you look at Miami and you could say, yeah, with the exception of Ellington, barring any kind of injury, shooting is always a concern. You never can have too many shooters. And if there's one thing Williams can do well, as you saw up close and personally up at UCF, is that he's a great shooter. And look, mm-hmm. he's been phenomenal. What did he shoot, like 45%? He didn't play
18 of his 43 pointers in Las Vegas. 45%, exactly like you said.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, that's And not from like 23 and a half feet either. He's bombing. He's pulling up and he's shooting and he's got that kind of legitimate range. So if there's one thing he can do well, it's shooting. So you could see him maybe coming in and playing the end of games or late quarter situations where they need a shot. And he's a guy who can come in there and can really light it up. I mean, I don't see why not take a chance on somebody like him. As far as...
Wait. So the other thing I like about Matt Williams, though...
Yes.
Wayne Ellington is a great three-point shooter. But he's not, he's a traditional 3-point shooter, right? He runs off very much in the Ray Allen mold where he just, he comes off a screen,
right,
gets his balance and drills it from 3-point range. He's not so much Steph Curry, right? Steph Curry's not, Wayne Ellington, he'll shoot it right from the 3-point line, right? He's not going to shoot it from further than there just because he can. We've seen him do it, but typically that's what he does. Steph Curry is, you know, he's doing from 28, 30 feet. That starts to space the offense even more. I could see Matt Williams really being that sort of guy for Miami. The Heat don't really have that guy. Like I said, Ellington is not utilized best in that way. I could see Matt Williams just kind of getting a catch-and-shoot opportunity or just sort of bringing a ball up and then just chucking it from 28 feet and making it, right? As you just said, like, that's his range. And so the Heat don't have a guy like that. You could bring in a guy like Matt Williams on a two-way deal there, let him progress in all the other areas of his game so he can get on the court in an NBA game. That could be a real useful tool for Miami as far as space and the offense goes. Now, my Justin Robinson pick was more wishful thinking. I like watching – he's 5'8". I like watching him play. You look at guys like Tyler Ulis in Phoenix, Yogi Ferrell in Dallas. Of course, we can make the Isaiah Thomas – comparison, but that's lofty, right? But you can get a guy that's very small, and those guys can play in today's NBA.
In Orlando, I saw the offense move better when he was at the helm. When he was at the point, it seemed like it was a lot more smooth. And you know, he's got range. He definitely, look, the Isaiah Thomas comparison. You know, I know it's overstating things. I saw some similarities there. He's willing to mix it up.
Their shooting stroke looks identical.
Very similar. Yeah. Very similar. Yeah. He's got the floater too. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to go into traffic. He's good from the line. He was the NCAA leading scorer at Monmouth, right? I mean, he's a guy who puts up points if there's one thing he can do. So obviously NBA level defense is going to be a problem for him, but you know, you can put him in certain lineups where maybe you can overcompensate. I don't know. There's
Olenek knows how to compensate, right?
Yes, he does. He does. He's played alongside a guy like Thomas before, so that makes sense.
22 points, six assists versus the Clippers. He had a game-winning layup against the Wizards in all summer league, right? I mean, take it for whatever it's worth, but it was exciting. Averaging 12.6 points a game, 40.7% field goal percentage, 3.2 assists per game. You're right. The offense looked like it moved better when he was in it. It's a wishful pick. But also, look, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami looks outside of that summer league roster. We keep looking at guys on the summer league roster for these two-way contracts. Don't be surprised if they look outside of it. They look at guys that maybe performed really well against them in summer league or something like that. Do you have any picks? Like, who are your guys?
From the summer league team, I'm curious. I think they brought in Trey McKinney-Jones. Mm-hmm. You know, he was with the Pacers in Orlando, and they brought him in for Las Vegas. He's a UM guy, so he played at University of Miami. He had the ball in his hands quite a bit there. I also think that they went to Gene Clavel. Now, it's spelled G-I-A-N, but it's pronounced Gene, apparently. That's what he told reporters in Orlando. So, you know, he had like a game-winning situation with a ball in his hands and a double overtime loss to Memphis a couple days ago. So he's a guy who can be a little streaky. You know, he was a top scorer at Colorado State. We talked about him in our Orlando Summer League preview. I could see them trying to mentor a guy like that. He's got NBA size. He's not much bigger than Perantis, but I think he's a little bit longer, a little bit more wide as far as his arm span is concerned. I could see him. He's got some defender in him. He's got a little dog too. So I think that's
a little Rodney McGruder in him.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe smaller, not necessarily as sturdy. I mean, Magruder's built like a much more sturdy player. Clavel's much more smooth, much more lean, but he's still got enough strength to, you know, keep up
can
with guys
play,
there.
Can he play point guard, do you think? Or no? Is he more of a secondary? That's what I think. That's why I look at a guy like Justin Robinson. I think one of these two-way spots is going to be a point guard, just because – Miami doesn't need a reserve point guard. Pat Riley's already talked about it. They have so many secondary ball handlers on this roster who are very good at it. James Johnson will be their backup point guard, essentially.
Well, to follow up on what you were saying, as far as guys that played well against them, the guy I saw that played the best was Dwight Bucks, I think, from Dallas.
Yeah.
He's on their Dallas Summer League team. He killed Miami. He was getting to the line. He was doing everything. He was pulling up from range. He had a really strong showing in Orlando. I haven't kept up with his stats in Las Vegas. But he had a pretty strong showing there. So if they're gonna try and pilfer a guy from another team's team, then I think he makes sense.
All right. So before we continue to our speed round, David and I are asking our listeners to participate in a survey. It's really important and can help grow our show. Pitch it to more potential advertisers and give you, the listener, what you like best about the show. It only takes a few minutes to fill it out, and all you have to do is go to tinyurl.com/LOHeatSurvey to find it. We'll include the link in the show notes as well. Again, it would be really helpful as we try to improve what we're doing here going into next season. It would be much appreciated. Again, tinyurl.com/LOHeatSurvey. Please take a look.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
All right, speed round. Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
This question comes from Taylor Monk. Who is more likely to be an all-star, Deion or James Johnson?
I'd have to say it's Deion Waiters. I mean, I love James Johnson trying to break into the three front court positions there. He certainly has a lot of versatility that's appealing to people. You know, he's a personality, but I think Deion, if you're going to use the kind of voting power that the All-Star game brings, I think Deion will certainly bring it. And if he puts up the solid numbers that we expect where he leads the Heat in overall scoring, Waiters is an All-Star in a couple seasons.
Yeah, guys like James Johnson are extremely valuable, but they're not rewarded with All-Star games, right? He kind of fills the box score with threes and fours and fives, sixes. Waiters is going to potentially, and you already predicted this, he's going to lead the team in scoring. If that's the case, we're looking at 20-plus points a game. That gets him into the All-Star game conversation. It'll get him votes, so he's probably the most likely. Next question comes from Len Mastrappa via Twitter. Start or bench Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson?
I'm starting to come around on it. Last time I think we spoke about it, I think I predicted or I assumed that Olynyk was going to be the starter. But the more I think about it, it seems like he's a better fit at the center position. He provides a different dimension where you don't lose too much of the defense, and he obviously spaces the floor quite a bit. You want your best guys to be in your starting unit, and you not sacrifice much there. James Johnson can certainly play the power forward position. He's got the size, the versatility. He can switch on a number of guys there. Maybe that doesn't mean that Justice Winslow starts. Maybe he comes off the bench and you keep a guy like Magruder as your starting, quote-unquote, small forward and then have him switch off with James Johnson. I see Johnson as a starter opening day.
I disagree. I think it's going to be Kelly Olynyk as a starter. You put him at the stretch four spot. He could shoot threes at a higher rate than James Johnson. At a more consistent rate than James Johnson, even though Olynyk, for him, consistency is not a strong suit of his.
That's
but
right.
I think Miami's banking on that improving. I think he's your starting four. I think that exact reason, James Johnson's consistency is what makes him better coming off the bench. Like, he's your backup point guard. He's a point forward for you, essentially. He could play. He could fill in a multiple needs on a weaker second unit. You need somebody to build your bench around, and that's going to be James Johnson for the Heat. I think it's very much up in the air. None of these positions are settled, especially at small forward. Like you said, Ronnie Magruder is in the conversation for a starting spot. Nothing's settled, but when everything clears, I think it's going to be Olynyk as a starting four because they value James Johnson's versatility and consistency off the bench. We saw that Spoelstra wanted to keep James Johnson on the bench last year with Tyler Johnson because it gave him some consistency throughout the season. Next question. Will Luke Babbitt come back to Miami? And if so, will he be back in the rotation? This is from Matthew Habergorst via Twitter as well.
You know, at this point, I don't think he comes back. I think he has a spot here, but you bring in Olynyk. A guy who's obviously capable of playing the four or five and spacing the floor. That's basically what Babbitt was there for last season. He did play earnest defense as the season progressed. He wasn't quite the Toreador that a lot of people thought. He wasn't exactly open door policy there as far as getting to the rim. He did better. And he had a nice niche there with Miami. He figured it out. He shot at a very high percentage. But I just don't think that he's necessarily has a fit with Miami next season now that you have Olynyk there. So although I'd love to see Babbitt the Rabbit come back next season, I don't see it happening.
I disagree. I'm thinking he's coming back. I think he's the 14th guy. Haslam's the 15th guy. That's how you round out the roster. Will he be back in the rotation? No, not really. I think Luke Babbitt will be Jason Capono. He will be James Jones. He will be old Mike Miller. He is just a guy who can shoot threes, that can come off the bench for you, play. You can trust him to try hard on defense. That's your guy. That's what he does. If you need three-point shooting, Miami doesn't have a ton of pure three-point shooters. That's your guy, Luke Babbitt. I think he's back. Babbitt the Rabbit lives on in Miami, I think.
Huh.
All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions or get information about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. To support the show, make sure you download every episode and follow Locked On Heat on Twitter. If you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Don't forget about our survey, tinyurl.com/LOHeatSurvey. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.